It's a pleasure to welcome Rob the Witch to the show, the founder, composer and frontman of Canadian black and death metalers Necronomicon. Hi Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Good, good. Okay, so to begin with, we need to start, because we're in the midst of the coronavirus global pandemic at the moment, I'd like to mention that, as of course it's affecting everyone in many ways, and it's having a massive impact on the music industry. So how's it been from your perspective?
Really, really not easy, that's one thing. And I think that pretty much like any artist that don't do that for mostly for their living, they feel the impact pretty well. Of course, you know, some bands, like, it's, some people do that just as a hobby. You know, they have their, you know, like, big job, you know, whatever, main job and their stuff. And once in a while, you know, they do an album, doing a few shows, and that's just when you spend time, you know, you're going on full tours, like, months at a time, and, you know, spend, like, many hours, you know, practice by yourself, but I mean, like, many hours per week or days per week, literally practicing with your band.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, you know, you have, like, situations like that, you know, coming out of nowhere, in a way. It's pretty challenging, actually, in a way. Example, our drummer is stuck in California, and can't come to practice, and it's been many months, so it's really not easy. It's practicing on a side, but it's different, you know.
Yeah, very difficult. Yeah, but you've been releasing some playthrough videos, which is nice to keep the fans keeping in touch with the fans, keeping them updated, which is cool.
Actually, everything started with our drummer that he did a playthrough, and we said, hey, that one is good, you know. Actually, it was not even, like, supposed to be posted at first. It was just, you know, hey, guys, I did, like, a couple of songs, and
yeah,
and does that, and just, hey, why not post it, you know? And we posted and been super popular,
mm.
You know, talking about, like, 400,000 views. And
that's great.
And under a week. In a week or so, or something like that. And that's pretty cool. So after that, my bass player saw, oh, well, I'm going to do it. And he did one, and he did really super well also. And yeah, didn't want it to do it. I didn't want it to do it, but our manager decided, you know, otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, well, they were great, so definitely.
I did it.
Yeah, very cool.
I was personally not interested in doing that, but.
Well, it was a very cool one. We'll come back more to that later. But it is nice to keep in touch, because obviously you would be out on the road normally now. So you know, it is nice for the fans to see what you're up to. But we'll come back to that. So your sixth full length album, Unus, was released in October last year via Season of Mist. You did some touring just after the release in the US. So what type of response has it received from the fans?
Oh, well, it was pretty amazing, actually. I mean, already we were doing pretty good in the US since, been many years now. But, because what happened, our label, some years ago asked us to try to concentrate on working a little bit more on the US market, because it's not always really easy there. But people are more like into like a lot of typical death metal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we tried, since we are not like pure black metal or something like that, we tried to like work on, concentrate our efforts more in the US, and we started to build something pretty solid there.
Yeah.
The last tour was pretty much, you know, we already had some good response, but this one was, some places were really over the top. It was a surprising.
Awesome.
We ran out of everything, CDs, vinyls, merch, like really quick.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
some of the items will run out in like 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, okay, there's a problem here. You know, you have like cases of stuff that you think you're gonna take like 2 weeks to sell, and you sell everything in like 3 to 4 days.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
That's great.
So, you know, I always loved touring U.S. I know a lot of people are complaining about U.S. about this and that. But, you know, when people ask you and you go there, man, people pay money to come see you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's important to go and, you know, be with the people that, you know, support you, you know, no matter where they are, you know.
Definitely, yeah. So, as a band that likes to tour regularly, and of course you've missed out on that chance this last few months, and also to promote the album as well, unfortunately, and playing the new tracks for the fans, what are your plans for getting back on the road in 2021?
Well, if I would say no, it would be a lie, so, literally. Of course, we're trying to see what we can do now. Nothing is certain at this point how the entire, like, this entire fucking zoo is going, you know.
Mm.
It's totally out of control, especially in U.S., for example. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, in Canada, we're doing good. You know, they responded really quick. They're doing really good.
Yes.
I don't know how it is in Europe, and depending on the part of Europe.
Pretty bad in a lot of places, yeah.
Yeah. I really don't know how we're going to do that, because when we finished the U.S. tour, we were already planning to go in Europe. Everything was in process.
Yeah.
And something happened, and we had to pull out, and that tour started without us. We had a replacement, and the tour went to hell because of COVID started, like, after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In the tour. So at first I wasn't really happy because I was not, we had to pull out of the tour. And I realized that after, it was like almost a blessing, because, I mean, these bands that were on tour with us in Europe, you know, they got a really, 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 really shitty financial situation because of that.
Yeah.
And they're literally, one of them is literally struggling right now. And we're not talking about a local band, we're talking about quite a big band.
Mm.
They're really having like some major financial problems due to what happened there.
Yeah.
If we would have been on that tour, it would have really fucked us really, really in a bad way. So the fact that we've been forced to pull out of that tour and, you know, not going saved our ass in a way.
Yeah.
That's the irony of that.
Mm.
But we had another tour also. After the European tour, we had the Canadian tour. It was 26 shows, I'm not sure, somewhere in there.
Right.
My phone.
Quite long.
And yeah, we were supposed to go for a month and 2 days, I think. Don't remember exactly, but it was supposed to finish at, like, in the middle of July. So I would be just, you know, a few weeks back from that tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have been, like, pretty active, like, with the release of that album. You know?
Yeah.
Well, of course, you have the Xmas, like, time, you know, that everyone take off. You know, there's nothing running, even, like, the Christmas and shit. And, you know,
yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at that, we finished in November. Everyone went to see their family. We came back, we were supposed to go on the road, and 2 weeks after that tour started, shit happened, and it's still going on.
Yeah.
So we would have been, like, literally on tour from February to July.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, you know,
a lot of time.
It's like losing money, but we're not losing money.
Yeah.
We're, you know, I'm just thinking about my friends that had to quit, to stop everything after 2 weeks on that tour was supposed to be, and they were stuck in Europe when they're from US.
Right, yeah.
And they got stuck there for another week or two, I think, and all the bills were coming with this, that, the tour bus, this.
Yeah.
It's a month and, like, all the expenses they had to do to rent this, the gear that, you know, was a nightmare. I don't know the details, but I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, not good at all. And of course, we don't know how things are going to go next year. What it's going to be like in venues, obviously, with all the distancing, social distancing.
Well, I talked with my U.S. agent like 2 days ago. And of course, it's freaking out, you know. And he said, I don't know, you know, we're trying to book like October, November, and some venues that they don't want to even take risk, they don't book.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about for our band. I
mean, no, just in general.
He just told me what the situation was, just while I want to just have some news, how are you doing, you know, because we've been working with them for a long time. And it was said, it is really bad in the U.S. It's horrible. You
know? It is.
Anyway, I was like, my plan is not to go back in the U.S. for a little while now. What we want to do for next year, for 2021, would be the best, would be probably depending on the situation in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to go back in Europe. It's been a long time we've been in Europe, and probably South America also.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yes, we need to see you over here in the UK.
That's what we're going to focus on right now.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Okay, well, fingers crossed, it will work out. So, back to the album, which is an epic 40 minutes from start to finish with 10 tracks in total. So the combination of the involved lyrical themes with the intensity of the music, the vocal arrangements, there's so many aspects involved in creating your music. What's the process you go through to put all those elements together?
Well, it depends on the time, but most of the time is mostly the guitar drum coming together at first. Guitar, I mean, I could say bass, because the bass is, it's naturally coming when this is being written, you know. Usually I just sit down, write the song, entire song, one shot. It's not perfect, of course, it's like a little bit sloppy and everything, because I don't practice.
Yeah.
Really, like, I don't sit down and working on a song, I don't do that. I never did that. It's just, I sit on my computer, I turn my guitar, and I just play the song, because the song is already all in my head.
Yeah, okay.
So I record a song, I adjust like the tempo, the proper tempo. Usually I have it on the spot. And I start to build a MIDI drum track for, you know, like having some points, some, you know, like plays that I know where I can punch stuff and whatever. So whatever, you know, I draw like the name drum, MIDI drum, like with samples, really shitty drum, you know. And I put, after that, I re-record the guitar tighter. After it, like the bass, and that's it.
Yeah.
And sometime, it's been two albums now, that it happened that I write the orchestra first.
Right.
Yeah, especially on Unus it happened, and I think it happened on the album before. I don't remember, I'm not good to remember stuff like that. But I do remember on Unus, there's one or two songs that I wrote the entire orchestra first, and I put the band on top of it.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's been already a while. The album came out 1 year later than the done.
Yeah, right.
So it was already ready in 2018.
Oh, wow.
When it's been released in 2019.
Yeah. Long time then.
It's been like that for many of my albums, you know. Pharaoh of God came out in 1999, but it was recorded in 1997.
Oh, really? So why does it take so long?
Shit happens, stories, whatever, label, crap.
Right, it's
hard to say. It did happen more than once. So that's usually how it works. I sit down, write the song, the entire guitar part, add the drums, re-record the guitar tighter with the drum, with the scale, and just write the bass, the orchestra. Sometimes the orchestra and I put the bass last.
Yeah.
Sometimes the guitar, the orchestra together, but usually it's going that way.
Okay, cool. Right, and are there any particular favorite tracks for you? Your favorites?
On the last album or overall?
On the last one. But you can tell me overall as well if you like.
On the latest album, I like pretty much The Entrance, the first song. In the last one, Vox Reconis, even if a lot of people think it's super basic, the thing is, like, sometimes you know less is more.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, definitely. Yeah.
It's just a really groovy song.
Mm.
This one, I built it, like, so freaking fast, I was like, it's just, you know, I wanted some really, really groovy, like, I remember about the drummer that recorded, it was like, okay, that's it. I said, yeah, that's it. Nothing to be more complicated that I'm going to throw, like, you know, I was really inspired for a solo, you know.
Yeah.
No, but I really like the first track.
Yeah.
And Thousand Mask is, I like, Thousand Mask is even easier to play than Vox Reconis, actually. It is easier to play than Vox Reconis. It's more basic, but some people don't get it.
And right.
Just the ambience, I don't know why. I like when there's a lot of groove and ambience. So
yeah.
Important. I like a lot the first one, From Ashes to Flesh, because it's the first time that I do a song that the orchestral start before the band start and finish exactly the same time.
Yeah.
That's the only song so far that I've written that the orchestration from the start to the end.
Right.
Usually I always have little parts.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That is a great one, and mentioning that, I've got that to mention, because of course you had a special guest on that one as well, didn't you?
Yeah. There's a special guest on the piano. It's Gelios from the Dimmu Borgir.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a special guest. I had another special guest on the album before, and piano also. There was the guy from Black, that was playing with Blackguard. It's a Canadian band that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
There was a really good keyboardist and pianist, and he owned the studio while we're recording now. He's retired from doing music. He have his own recording studio, and I work with him.
Yeah.
So I always thought it was a great pianist, a keyboardist. So we cheated because I did compose the piano solo. So he didn't do it.
Right.
I compose it and he play it. But on the new album on Unus, I contacted Gerlios, who's a longtime friend. Was like, hey, bro, what's up, blah, 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 how's, you know, that life? So I'm in studio right now, I'm doing stuff for someone. I say, hey, you're already in studio? It's like, okay, what about I'm paying your day today, and you send me something on this, and I send him, like, that the part, the guitar, the band, the entire part that was already processed.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you want me to do? It's like, I don't give a shit, do whatever you want. It's like, just follow, like, the main team. Had some extra like doodling, and he said, okay, I'll send you that. And he said, I'm a little bit busy now. It's like, give me 48 hours, I'm gonna send you something. And he actually told me that it was a little bit challenging because I was really fast.
It is fast.
And damn, I think I never played that fast. Well, sorry. he said he had to redo it a couple of times.
Like, really?
He said it was pretty fast. So I never played that fast. And I was like, well, it's a challenge for you, bro. So that's it. That was it. I paid the time he spent in studio, and that was it.
Awesome. And it fits in so well. It's
a good friend. It's a really good friend.
Yeah. It's a very cool solo. Yeah. I like it. So because you had a guest there, is that something that you would consider for future recordings, or is that more of a one-off situation for you?
We're probably gonna have another one on the next album. I mean, it's not like we're, you know, who knows, it's in a way, because it's still pretty new, you know, in a certain way. You know? I really had like some ideas like for some parts, I'm guess musician, but I don't want to just have like someone that do something like, how can I say it? Like, if I was taking a singer doing the same kind of vocal that I'm doing, it would be like kind of awkward. I was like, I know some band do that and say, oh, it'll be a voice a little bit different. Like, yeah, because it's that, yeah, you don't barely see a difference. You hear a little something, but so far, the guy changed like his modulation on his voice. But yeah. Now I want to have I like to have someone to have this, you know, you take him because of, or her, whatever, because of the color of his voice or his talents.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when Pantera, like, on an album, like, took the fucking Kerry King to do a solo, you hear it's not Dimebag, you know? It's literally, like, jerking off the name, the Warmy Bar, and you're like, oh, okay, well, it sounds like Slayer, you know, probably because it's Kerry King.
Yeah.
Of, you know, when Bruce Dickinson went to sing on Rob Halford album, you know, the one you love to hate, the song, actually. And you hear it's Bruce Dickinson, you know, he's not trying to sing like Rob. So I think it's important when you do that, you have, like, the color of the person, the personality.
Yeah.
Personality of that person that, like, bring, like a pinch of salt.
And, of course.
The composer. Stuff. So I have like a couple of ideas. Some friends that I have here and there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I look forward to that then.